All right. The seventh principle of victory that we see in this passage is that we shouldn't try to wear someone else's armor or the armor of the flesh. This is in verses 38 and 39. Remember, David tried to put on Saul's armor and he couldn't walk. So he took it off and went back to his slingshot and his stones. Well, Saul is a picture of the flesh. His armor was no help to David at all. His armor was fleshly armor, or what we call self-protection. So, if we try to wear human armor or the armor of the flesh or arm ourselves with self-protection, it results in captivity and an inability to move, just like it did with David. He put on that Saul's armor and he couldn't move. Secondly, Saul was a different person than David. And God works with us as individuals. He speaks to us differently. He deals with us differently. He uses us differently. And he gives us different strategies in different situations that are fit for us and that are tailor-made to us and to our personalities and our experiences. So if we try to do what worked for someone else, or go on what God spoke to someone else, it doesn't work. And we get ourselves into trouble. Now, here's a personal example, just thinking in terms of the armor of the flesh. For a lot of years, I tried to combat my sense of shame and inadequacy and worthlessness with excessive achievement. That was my armor of the flesh. It didn't work. I was just as miserable as a great achiever as I was before I was a great achiever. I was just and shameful, inadequate, worthless, self-achiever, a big achiever. Didn't work. So the armor that we're called to wear is the armor of God from Ephesians chapter 6. That probably goes without saying. But, you know, we know that in our heads. But a lot of times we still try to hide behind or put on the armor of denial or resignation or complacency or escape or withdrawal or putting walls up or performance or striving. You know, even though we know that in our head, we still try to wear those other things as armor to combat the giants in our lives. And it's all human armor. It's all fighting in the flesh. And we're left more and more paralyzed and incapacitated and vulnerable as we try to walk with God, wearing those things as our human armor. And this is kind of a humorous picture the Lord gave me. It's like spiritual streaking. Okay? We run out onto the battlefield wearing the helmet of salvation and nothing else. And it doesn't get us very far. In fact, it leaves us very vulnerable. Very wide open and very vulnerable. So we want to wear the armor of God, not that human armor. Okay, the eighth principle of victory that we see in this is to run to the battle. David ran to the battle and he charged Goliath. And we see this in verse 48. Now, Dave mentioned this to Donna the other night. I need to really check it, but we've heard somewhere that when a pride of lions goes hunting, the male lion roars so that the prey run away from the roar right into the jaws of the lionesses who are waiting. And then they're the ones who actually kill the prey. And so we know that the devil goes around as a roaring lion, right? So the spiritual principle that we see illustrated in this is we need to run towards the roar. Whatever the giant's coming at us with, run towards it, charge him, not run away. It's a matter of going on the offensive against the devil in our lives. I remember a lot of years ago when I was in college, some famous coach, I don't know if it was Bear Bryant or who it was, but I remember some famous coach saying, well, the best defense is a good offense. But that's true in the spiritual realm as well. You know, and so often we're kind of back in our corner hiding and on the defensive, but that's not a safe place. We need to be on the offense against the enemy who's working in our lives, that Goliath that's taunting us and bringing fear and intimidation or accusation or temptation or any of the other ways that he works to try to bring us into captivity or keep us in captivity in our lives. So, Jesus, back to that picture, or no, this is a different one. In Matthew 16:18, he talked, do you remember that? Dave mentions this one a lot. The gates of hell won't prevail against the church, right? We've traditionally always thought of that as, we'll hold the fort against the assault of the kingdom of darkness. That's not the picture at all. The reality in this picture that Jesus is giving is a church assaulting the gates of hell and saying they won't stand against the assault of the church. And so we need to press in and take ground in our lives, not just defend the ground that we've gained. And I know in my own life, that's my tendency. Is okay, well, I've come far enough, so I'm going to coast. I think that's probably all of our tendencies. It's probably a human thing. You know, okay, well, that's probably good enough for a while. Let's just coast. But if we do that, if we just defend the ground that we've gained, what happens is stagnation, no growth, complacency, resignation, and apathy. All of those things set in if we're content to just defend the ground that we've gained. And there's no freedom because we're stuck in our little corner. So it's not a positive thing. That's an illusion. So we need a change of mindset. You know, he said we're transformed by the renewing of our minds. We need a change of mindset from farmers and shepherds to warriors, Joel chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, he talks about beating our plowshares into swords and the pruning hooks into spears. The Lord needs to bring a change of mindset that we might be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So we move from this place of just being farmers and shepherds and what's the word for people that are against any kind of war? I can't remember the word. Huh? Pacifists? Yeah. Well, a lot of us, you know, in the church world, we think we can get away with being pacifists, but we can't. We have an enemy, and he's going to take advantage of every little place he can take advantage of. And if we try to act like pacifists, that just gives him a wide open door. So the Lord has to bring a change of mindset so that we don't see ourselves as pacifists. We see ourselves as warriors. And we're willing to stand our ground, and not just stand our ground, but assault the gates of hell in our own lives. So that we're not restricted to our little corner, and we're not overcome with complacency and apathy and lack of growth and stagnation. So if we go back to this in verse 45 and 47 through 47, we see that David went on the offensive against Goliath. He said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts." And then he goes on and taunts Goliath and says, "The Lord's going to deliver you into my hand." We see that David intimidated Goliath and tormented Goliath by prophesying against him. He told him, "This day you're going to be struck down. You're coming down, enemy, in my life." And we need to learn to prophesy to the darkness in our own lives and enforce the victory that was won at Calvary by speaking God's judgment to our enemy. The battle's already won, and Christ has already won the victory. And sometimes he needs to hear that over and over and over again. I don't know about you, but my experience with the kingdom of darkness is that the enemy doesn't take no for an answer very easily. Sometimes you have to stand your ground, stand your ground. Stand your ground. Here's a good example. When many years ago, I was diagnosed with endometriosis. And I had horrible, horrible period pain. I was in school at the time, and I would sit in class with my knees drawn up to my chest because I was in so much pain. And I'd sit there taking notes with my knees like this, because I hurt so bad. And I was told that the only options were either to have a hysterectomy or to be on some kind of painkiller for the rest of my life. And I said, I was a young Christian at the time, so I can't say I said, "No, I'm not accepting that." I didn't. I was actually kind of stunned. Because I was very young, I didn't know my authority, I didn't understand. I was like, "Oh my gosh, oh." Well, I went straight from there to a prayer meeting. And the pastor at the time was a woman. She laid hands on me, And she said, come over here. She put her hand right on my, well, because I waited till the end of the prayer meeting, and I just, as everybody was getting their coats, I finally got up the courage to say, I'm sorry, I need some prayer. Okay, so she wanted to know what was going on. I told her. She stuck her hand right there. The next thing I knew, I was on the floor. Power of God just hit me. And she said, I just keep hearing it's the Lord's operating table. Okay? And I could feel stuff going on inside. I mean, I could feel all this stuff moving. And it was like, whoa. And I was just laying there laughing for a couple hours. When I got up, I was completely healed. Okay? But after a time, you know, those symptoms started coming back. It was like, oh no, am I really healed? But the Lord gave me such an understanding and a revelation that He really had healed me. I was healed. And this was just the devil trying to not take no for an answer. And so every time those twinges would come, I'd say, no, devil, I know I am healed. Go away. And you know what? After 2 or 3 months, never had another twinge. But He tried. He tried. If I had said, oh my gosh, I guess maybe I'm not really healed, fear, doubt, if I'd accepted that, then I'd probably have endometriosis to this day. Because He will try. If we give Him an inch, He'll try to take a mile. That's just how He is. That's my experience with Him. So all that to say, that sometimes we have to stand our ground and tell Him what God's judgment is against him. No, you're defeated. You're done. You're gone. And sometimes we have to do it over and over and over until He finally just gives up and decides, not budging her. Guess I'll go torment somebody else. Right? Anybody relate to this? Okay, so the last principle of victory that we have from this passage that we want to look at tonight is to show no mercy to the enemy. And I have to emphasize here that we're talking about spirits of darkness and not people. Okay? This is from Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 2, where God says, you shall make no covenant. He's talking about the inhabitants of the land who all represent our spiritual enemies. They were all types of the spiritual enemies we face. You shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them. Okay, and so we're talking about spirits of darkness, not people. Now, this is really important. We see, I forget which verse it is, but David, he shot him with the stone and it embedded itself, it said, in his forehead. And he fell over. And then it says that he killed him, okay, without a sword. So he is already dead, or for all appearances, he looked dead, right? But he still went and got his sword and cut off his head. Just to make sure that it was final. Now, we have a sword. We have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And we can cut off the enemy's head too. How did Jesus deal with Satan in the wilderness? How did he come back to him every time? Devil, it is written. It is written. It is written. Verse 4, verse 7, verse 10 in chapter 4 of Matthew. That was his response every time. Sword of the Spirit. Cut off his head. It is written. But think about this too. Jesus is our living word, right? He's the living word. And we can use the name of Jesus as the living word, as a sword to obliterate the power of darkness in our lives that would try to hold us captive. And we sang it tonight. There's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Okay, so the Israelites then pursued the Philistines once he cut off Goliath's head. They're all freaked out. They run away. Now we've got the enemy on the run. And they pursued the enemy. A picture of the church assaulting the gates of hell, which will not stand against the church. Matthew 16:18. So they pursue the enemy and slay them. Verse 52. And I want to just make, kind of, we're getting close to the end here. I want to make this one point. So oftentimes we quit before it's all over with. You know, we quit before it's settled. We don't pray through. That's an old Pentecostal expression, but we don't pray through until we really see the breakthrough. We just say, okay, Goliath's laying there on the ground. Okay, good enough. He looks dead. There's a picture of this in Psalm 149, which I'd like to read. It's verses 5 through 9. Says, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance on the nation and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. Dishonor have all his saints. Praise the Lord. Now, this isn't talking about real people. You know, David had a New Testament understanding of things, what Jesus would come to fulfill, who the church would be. This isn't talking about real people, and it's not talking about real nations. It's talking about the kingdom of darkness and its kings. And it talks about we can execute on them, speaking of poetically, shall we say, of our spiritual enemies. We can execute on them the written judgment. Dishonor have all his saints. Not just the ones who've been walking with him for 30 years or 20 years or 10 years. Dishonor have all his saints. And the judgment written, the written judgment, was written in blood. Was written in the blood of Jesus at Calvary. That's when the enemy was judged. The decree was made in the heavenlies. So the written judgment was written in the blood of Jesus at Calvary. And we can enforce that written judgment and stand against any enemy of our soul that would try to come against us and hold us captive. Dishonor have all his saints. I sense that, you know, there's some of us here tonight that feel like we've been up against a giant or two in our own lives. And that perhaps we've responded more like the men of Israel than David in facing these giants. So it's my prayer that we've received some insight and some encouragement tonight to press on and press in, to run to the battle, to show no mercy to those Goliaths in our own lives that we face on a daily basis. And that it's just been an encouragement to our hearts that A, we're not alone, and B, we're not unequipped. We're not ignorant, and we might be inexperienced, but we're not ignorant and unequipped. And that sometimes it's just a matter of seeing ourselves the way that God sees us, as like David saw himself. Not what everybody else saw, but he saw a warrior. And certainly the Lord is a warrior in us. And we can stand up against things. Yeah.
You're talking about using these things for ourselves.
Uh-huh.
It also uses the battle for others.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Sure. But it's... sometimes it's good to talk in terms of our own lives and ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's true. That's what intercession is all about. Is standing on behalf of other people, standing in the gap for them. But it starts in our own lives. It starts with us. You know, Jesus said, first Jerusalem and Samaria and then the outermost parts of the earth. Well, a picture in the New Testament of the body of Christ, of the bride of Christ, is the new Jerusalem. Judgment begins in the house of God. It starts with us. So we need to learn these things, these principles in our own lives first. And then the Lord will more and more use us to stand in the gap for others. But I think it's something we need to learn for ourselves first. And so that's why I was kind of approaching it that way. But you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
Steve, would you ever say that there is a time in our own lives where a battle may not be in his timing? Or would you say that when it comes to our own lives, the battle is always going to the battle?
That I'm not hearing you very well, I think. I didn't understand all of your question.
I had always heard to be very careful when going into battle, because it may not be my fight.
Mm-hmm.
So would you say that within our own lives, if there is any type of enemy we need to go after,
mm-hmm,
that we should always just advance?
That you should always advance?
Take charge.
Okay, the question is, with the enemies in our own lives, should we always advance, or could there be a time where the Lord would not have us to do that? Here's my experience with this. If you're seeing it in your own life, you can't see it unless he shows you. And if he shows you, it's because the time is right for you to move forward and stand against whatever that is. So, because when the time's not right, we're ignorant, we're blind, we can't see it. It takes him to show us, and if he shows us, he's shown us for a reason. That's been my experience. Sure, hope that helps. Okay. We got a few minutes. Okay, are there any other questions before we just move on to a little bit of ministry? Okay. When I was praying about this, I felt like the Lord said that this is a time, an opportunity that he's providing to really face some fears that we've all faced in our lives, I think that that giant of fear is something that we've all dealt with and are all dealing with to a certain degree in different areas for different reasons. But it's still a giant of fear. And fear can take many forms. It can take the form of intimidation. It can take the form of torment. It can take the form of terror. It can take the form of phobias. It can be very specifically directed in certain things like fear of man, fear of embarrassment, fear of making mistakes, fear of being misunderstood, fear of being hurt or used and abused. You know, it can come at us in a lot of different ways, but it's still a giant standing in front of us, taunting us, just as Goliath did the men of Israel and just as he did with David. And so I felt like the Lord wanted to make an opportunity tonight for us to sort of face that giant in our lives and to just let us bow our heads and, you know, figuratively speaking, but just close our eyes, quiet our hearts, and as I pray, just let the Lord do some things in our hearts and his life and our lives, because the battle really is his. And so I'd just like to pray tonight and trust that the Lord is going to bring a greater measure of freedom to each one of us in the area of fear. So, Father, we thank you that we can stand with confidence in you and face the giants in our lives. Those spirits of darkness that would try to torment us or taunt us or ridicule us or cause fear and doubt and all these different things, Lord, to rise up in response and bring us under subjection to a spirit of fear. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us a weapon of your love in us, that the love of God has been a shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, and that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And we thank you, Lord, that you said your perfect love casts out all fear. And so right now, Lord, we want to receive your perfect love in a fresh way today, that you would just pour it upon us like waves from your throne, that it would saturate every part of our hearts and minds and wills and spirit and body. Every fiber of our being, Lord, would be saturated with your perfect love. And that any fear or torment or terror or phobia that's been attached to us in some way, that's had control over our lives and held us captive, that there would be no room for those things to stay. There'd be no room in our lives for any spirit of fear, for any giant of fear. We thank you, Lord, that you've also given us the weapon of the blood of the Lamb. And we appropriate your blood in a fresh way over our hearts and lives. Tonight, we mark the doorposts and the lintels of our lives in a fresh way. And thank you, Lord, that that says to the kingdom of darkness, you pass over. You pass over me. You don't have any right to me. I'm under the blood of Jesus. I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that we have the weapon that is the word of our testimony, and that we can overcome any enemy that stands in our face and ridicules and taunts us, thinking he's so big and he's so mighty. We can look him right in the eye, and we say that to you, spirit of fear. But we have a testimony. Our God is faithful. Our God is true. Our God is bigger than you. My dad can beat up your dad. Nah, 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 nah. That's what we say to you, every spirit of fear. Yeah. And we also have that shield of faith. And Lord, we extend our faith tonight. And we advance behind it, declaring, Lord, that the judgment's been written by the blood of the Lamb at Calvary. The devil is a defeated foe. And he's going to be a defeated foe in my life. And we advance behind that shield of faith tonight. Lord, as we rest in you and allow you to fight the battle, we extend our faith, though. Lord, to believe your promises, to embrace your plan and your purpose for us, for each one of us. And we thank you, Lord, for your written word that you've given us. And we tell the devil, we tell that every spirit of fear or torment or terror or phobia, we tell you it is written. I don't have a spirit of fear. I've been given a power. I've been given power and love and a sound mind. You're not my portion. You're not my inheritance. He is my inheritance. He's the embodiment of faith. He's the embodiment of hope. He's the embodiment of joy. He's the embodiment of courage, and he lives in me. He's a warrior in me. And I'm not taking your fear. I'm not taking it. I'm not receiving that. Because it's written, devil. Your history. You're a defeated foe. The war is over and you lost. And I thank you, Lord, for the word that you've spoken to my heart, Jesus. That you don't want me to walk in fear. This is not your inheritance for me. And Lord, I just give you an opportunity right now to speak to my heart again in a fresh way as I listen for the sound of your voice. As I face this Goliath of fear in my life, what would you speak to my heart? You said your words are spirit and life to my soul. What would you speak to my heart this afternoon? We rejoice also that we have the living word. Our amazing Lord of King of Kings, Lord of Lords. The word. Word of God who became flesh and dwelt among us. The one who's coming again, Revelation 19. You're faithful and true. And you carry the name of the Word of God. Thank you that you are a mighty weapon, Jesus. You in us, you are a mighty weapon. We thank you that you've given us your name. Your name is a weapon. Oh, yes. The name of Jesus, which is above all names. And your name, Lord, is above the name of fear. And you said it, your name, every knee would bow. And so we speak to that giant of fear right now, or torment, or phobia, or terror. And we say, you bow at the name of Jesus. I am clothed in the name of Jesus. And his is the name above all names. You bow. 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 At the name of Jesus. Father, we ask that you would bring to our mind anyone that we need to forgive, that's been responsible for reinforcing this captivity that we've had to fear. And we just choose to forgive them right now in the name of Jesus. Let's bring them to our mind, that we can offer forgiveness and make sure there's no legal ground there. And Lord, we place the cross of Jesus Christ between us and our generations. Any way that fear was passed down generationally to torment us, or that proclivity to yield to a spirit of fear. Yeah. We place the cross of Jesus Christ right now between us and our generations. And we thank you, Lord, for all the good things that we inherited from our families. But a spirit of fear, or a proclivity to yield to that spirit of fear, give into it, or be intimidated by it, was not one of them. So we place the cross of Jesus Christ between us and our generations. And we thank you, Lord, that we have a new family line now. We have a new bloodline, and it's in you. And that we have an inheritance in you. And a spirit of fear is not part of that inheritance. Father, we want to offer you tonight, too, any of the hurts in our lives that opened up a door for a spirit of fear to get a hold in our lives. We don't have to list them before you one by one right now, Lord. You know everything about us. You know when it happened. You know all the details. But we want to offer you those places of wounding today, which opened a door for a spirit of fear to get a hold in our lives and hold us captive. Any kind of fear, whether it's terror or torment or phobia, whether it's fear of being hurt again, a fear of misunderstanding, it doesn't matter. We offer you those places of wounding today. Lord, we lay them at your feet. And we ask you to come right now and breathe. Breathe your life and your healing upon those places of wounding. As we offer them to you. And right now we shut the door. We shut the door that any place of wounding gave to a giant of fear in any way in our lives. We shut the door. And we rejoice, Lord, in you. We rejoice in your deliverance. We rejoice in your healing. We rejoice in the liberty that we have in you. And Lord, one of those other weapons you'd given us is the high praises of God in our mouth. And so we exalt you tonight. We exalt you tonight as our healer, our deliverer, our provider, our all in all. We offer you the high praises of God. And we take the two-edged sword that it talks about in Psalm 149 along with the high praises of God. And we cut off the head of this enemy that has tormented us in our daily lives. We cut it off. And we execute on him the judgment that was written in your blood, Lord, at Calvary. We give you praise and honor and glory tonight. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Yeah. Remember I said sometimes the enemy most of the time doesn't take no for an answer. And you have to kind of stand your ground until he finally gives up and goes away. Well, that might happen with this spirit of fear or torment or terror or phobia. But you remember how you prayed tonight. And you remember how faithful God is. And when he tries to come back and say, "Oh no, I'm really still here," you stand your ground. Because he's just trying. Because he doesn't want to take no for an answer. But I'll guarantee you that if you stand your ground, he will eventually give up and go away. In that particular area. That giant of fear. Okay? All right. Thank you guys. And bless you all. Let's just, you know what, let's pray and just kind of seal this. I feel the need to do that. Lord, we just thank you again for your abundant faithfulness, for your goodness which endures to all generations, and for your mercy which is eternal and immeasurable. And we just rejoice in you tonight. Lord, we ask that you would seal the work that you've done in our hearts and lives tonight by the power of your Holy Spirit. And that all the little seeds that you've planted in our hearts would bear fruit in our lives, fruit that remains. And we just praise you and thank you, Lord. We love you so much. And I ask that you would be with each one of us this week as we go through our week. And that wherever a need arises, Lord, to stand our ground against that spirit of fear, that you would give us the courage and the fortitude and the discernment, Lord, to recognize what's going on and be able to stand our ground. And we just thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.